2. Let's go straight to some hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, and all that good stuff right now. You're welcome.
Thank you, John, thank you.
You're welcome.
John. Juventus. I know it's Juventus. Player Cristiano Ronaldo has been fined for tax fraud, but he did avoid a jail term. Ronaldo was fined almost 19 million euros. That's the C, the C with the two lines through it. Is that euros? Or did we decide that that is
pesos? That's euros and the L is pounds. No, not pesos. No pesos.
Which one is pounds? The L? So this is euros.
Yeah.
Okay. 19 million euros.
Unless you're talking about Mexico. Pesos are only in Mexico.
Only Mexico?
Yeah.
Okay. 19 million euros. That's equivalent to $21.6 million for tax fraud today. But he will avoid serving a 23-month prison sentence. The Juventus forward, who played for Real Madrid from 2009 to 2018, agreed to settle the case by paying an 18.8 million euro fine and accepting a suspended jail sentence. Under Spanish law, a first offender can serve anything less than a two-year sentence under probation, and so Ronaldo will not have to go to prison, which is good news because he has a lot of soccer to play. So it's good to see Ronaldo not in prison for tax fraud.
Okay.
The NFL is looking into a laser that was flashed at Tom Brady during Sunday's playoff game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. They're always trying to cheat the Patriots out of a game. You know, it's well known. The NFL looking into a report from a local Kansas City TV station that a laser was flashed at Brady during the fourth quarter of Sunday's AFC Championship game. A photographer from KMBC shot video that showed a green dot flickering around Brady's shoulder and face. Interesting. Someone was pointing what appears to be a laser pointer in Brady's face.
Yeah, the one time that they really found it was in between Julian Edelman's muff punt. That should have been the Chiefs' ball, but the crooked NFL gave it to the Patriots because they want the storyline. Between that play and then, I believe, on first down, they gave the ball to Sonny Michel. So, like, that right there, the Sonny Michel play was the one that they have actual video evidence of the laser being on Brady's face. He threw an interception the play after that.
Well, there you go.
But it was off.
Because of the laser.
And it was tipped. I think it went off Edelman's hand and was picked. But
I'd be a little scared if I was Tom Brady. And, like, I mean, a laser pointed at you, you think, okay, it's probably just one of those things like you pointed at the chalkboard, but, you know, could be a gun.
Now, I hope this doesn't sound racist or derogatory.
All right.
And I know it's a bad way to start a sentence. But in Kansas City, I wouldn't really be worried about it, but this happened in Mexico a couple years ago. Like in Azteca, remember when like the Raiders and Texans were playing? And that one was kind of scary because I feel like rules are a little different in Mexico in terms of like getting into stadiums, and it just feels like a little bit more anything goes there. And I hope that doesn't. I hope that's not insensitive. And if it is, don't blame me. Blame the news and TVs. I think that caravan coming. Get the wall up. Look, there's a bunch of criminals and rapists coming to the wall, and they would shoot one of our quarterbacks down in that game. You see a laser down in Mexico? I'm nervous. Kansas City, not really going to think that someone's going to shoot Tom Brady through his helmet.
Didn't really.
That'd be something if they did. A bad thing. I'm not advocating for that. That just, I think that'd be the story of the day on the next day.
I did not expect you to be sheeping it up for the wall today during headlines, but here we are.
I'm just saying, Mexico has different rules. Everyone knows that.
Well, yeah.
Ever heard of the cartel? Watch a movie.
Yeah.
Read the news.
I've been to Juarez.
Narcos, Netflix, which is better than HBO. We've already established that. Watch that show.
You know, I've been hearing everybody talking about this Fyre Festival documentary.
What's that?
The Fyre Festival.
What are you talking about?
Documentary. Apparently, there's one on Netflix and one on Hulu.
Festival?
Fyre.
Okay.
Fyre.
Yeah. Okay.
Why are you asking?
Well, I was just laughing because of the way you spelled it. Like, I mean, I don't need you to spell it for me, but okay.
Well, why are you doing this? Why are you? You know what I'm talking about.
I talked about it yesterday. Yeah. Anyways, keep going.
When? I was out of it yesterday.
I know. I got text at the very beginning of the show asking if you were high.
I was running on very little sleep.
I know.
As in, no sleep. Yesterday was a struggle for me.
Okay, well, we talked about it yesterday.
Well, I don't
Anyways,
recall.
Keep going with your original point about the fire.
I was just saying I've heard it's good.
Oh.
Two documentaries on Netflix and Hulu, and people are debating over which one was better.
I've only watched the Netflix one. I'm not going to get Hulu just to watch it, although I do love the story. I'd asked you if you kept up with it in 2016 when it happened, and you said no.
I have a login for Hulu.
Okay, well, maybe I'll watch it because I do love the Fire Festival. But apparently,
I'm not going to give you my login.
Apparently, the Hulu version is more built around like the American meme. Remember that documentary we watched?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it focuses more on that side of it, of like, the Fire Festival was like all these supermodels went out to this island, right? And helped do this promotion.
With Ja Rule.
Yeah, for this music festival. And then they were trying to put together this big festival down in the Bahamas, like in this, you know, they had apparently bought Pablo Escobar's island. So they had like their own private island that they were going to have a big luxurious get together and have music acts going. And it was a big disaster. It fell apart. It was a scam. And instead of having like really luxurious places, they had like tents from when FEMA was down there when a hurricane hit. They were trying to put them like in hurricane tents. But anyways, the Hulu version apparently focuses on why our generation allows people to be social media influencers and why we like are desperate to be famous and live that lifestyle. Which, I mean, I think that all that's pretty cut and dry. And again, if you've seen the American meme, like that's pretty much what that was about. The Netflix version's more about like logistically how big of a nightmare it was and like why it fell apart. What were we talking about before then?
No idea.
Before you randomly brought up the Fire Festival? Oh, Mexico, Narcos.
You were saying that we should build a wall on the southern border of Texas. You were advocating for the wall.
People think we're too liberal. I'll show you. Build the damn wall! Now what? Plot twist. Huh?
I've always advocated for a wall on the northern border.
True.
Keep those damn Canadians out.
And the White Walkers. That's not a spoiler. That's what the whole show is about.
Oh, I know. Okay, I know about the White Walkers.
I was going to say, that's not a spoiler in Game of Thrones. The wall is built to keep the White Walkers out.
The White Walkers. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is going to keep their hot dogs at $2 for the Super Bowl.
All right,
They'll keep their beers at $5.
All right, this is a big deal.
Yeah, they're going to remain fairly priced. You like to see that. Falcons president and CEO Rich McKay reiterated the stadium would have its fan-first menu pricing for the 75,000 spectators expected to attend the Super Bowl on February 3rd. That's great, you know. You can pay $3,500 for a ticket, but thank God, once you get in the stadium, your hot dogs will only be $2. As if that really matters after you've paid $4,000 for a ticket to this game.
That's a pretty good point.
I think if you're willing to do that, you'd probably be willing to pay $20 for your beer. But, you know, I guess it's the principle behind it. Let's keep it reasonable. $5 cheeseburgers.
It would just look bad if Atlanta was all of a sudden jacking up prices when they've had those all year. So I guess I get why they're just like, you know what, we'll just keep doing it this way.
$3 nachos with cheese.
They were one of the first to do the fan-friendly pricing.
And $2 refillable soft drinks.
That's right.
That's a good deal. I love a good soft drink.
I do too.
Good fountain drink, one of my favorite things in life.
That's probably why me and you are so heavy. Part of the reason.
You're not that heavy.
I feel pretty heavy. I'm too heavy.
You're like the fifth heaviest guy at the station.
Well, that's not good for the health of the station.
Well, it shows we got a lot of unhealthy guys here.
I know. We need to all get together and lose some weight.
Do you know a guy?
I mean, if we kill Ben Lee, that's about 220 out the window right there. All of a sudden, we've lost 220 pounds at the station.
I feel like the average goes up, though.
I'd say Ben Lee might be the median. He might be right there in the median of the station weight. Like, how many employees do we have here? We got three on the morning show, 15. Three here,
Three for its optional.
Three for its options. We're at 9, 12, 15. And only throw two in for five interns, I guess, between Parker, Cameron, and there's a couple others.
There's like 20 people.
I'd say Ben Lee might be right there smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, I feel like I'm helping us out.
Hammer Houston right there.
Cam and Parker are skewing the average down, which is
Rick,
good.
Rick is way down at the bottom.
Yeah, Rick's like 94 pounds, I think.
Now we're getting into do we count interns on there? Because if not, like,
I think we should, because all our interns are skinny.
Yeah, the interns are helping us out a
Rick's
lot.
Rick's like 94, 95. I mean, I don't think he's any heavier than 95.
What happens if they replace them? Now we're on record as saying we target skinny interns. Like,
well, we had Andrew. We clearly don't target skinny interns. It's kind of whoever comes along.
On the Boston,
Andrew was like 289.
Come on.
On the Boston dot graph, like, you know, Rick is way over here, and then we got, you know, I got our outliers. I feel like I'm in the middle of the box.
Anytime an intern says that we've been abusive, we can always point back to Andrew and say, look, this guy was here.
This guy had it way worse.
I miss Andrew.
He could make it, anyone could.
We are the people, like, that'll be your defense, like, when people talk about women's rights. You think women got it bad here? Go to Iran and see how women have it.
I miss Andrew every day.
You think women don't have rights here? Go check out the Middle East, then talk to me about women's rights.
Didn't some guy post something like that yesterday?
You think America's racist? Go check out so-and-so country. It's way more racist. That's our intern, Andrew. If you think we've been mean to interns, you should have seen what we did to him. Every day I told intern Andrew he looked like he had just come out of the bowling alley with his mop on his head, smoking his cigarettes, walking around in shorts and flip-flops. I miss intern Andrew.
I feel like that Andrew was the most knowledgeable sports guy on the show.
Not at the show, at the station.
He watched everything.
Not at the show,
He's a consumer.
He loves sports more than anybody.
He would literally he would skip work to watch sports.
That's where the problem was. He would skip work to stay home and watch sports. Like,
I mean, that's a good excuse though.
Whenever the World Cup was going on, all of a sudden Andrew was sick. And when the golf tournament, the British Open, that was, you know, playing at like 3 or 4 a.m., intern Andrew was pulling all-nighters to watch that, and all of a sudden couldn't come into to work that week.
I feel like that's a pretty good excuse though, if you're at a sports radio place, you know. Well, hey, I'm not coming in. I'm watching the World Cup. Well, how do we argue with that?
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. The hell is this bumper? What is this?
It's called Folk Hop Sound. It's by Judah and the Lion from Nashville.
Benley's always putting on for the local people. Okay. Just curious. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Judah and the Lion?
Yeah.
Is that a Christian band?
No, it's like...
Sounds like it. I always think that too when I hear it. Like, are they out spreading the gospel?
I mean, like... I don't think they're like a Christian band per se, but like they have like Christian roots. But like it's more like a Mumford and Sons type of deal.
Okay.
Like a folk rock kind of banjos, but electric guitars kind of deal.
I gotcha. That's enough. I get a good idea what they are.
Whatever happened to rock and roll?
What?
Whatever happened to rock and roll?
Well, the Rolling Stones and the Beatles stole all their music from black people, and then it went on downhill from there.
The black blues artists were very supportive of what the Rolling Stones and the Beatles did. And Led Zeppelin, for that matter.
What do we make of Tom Brady?
He's the GOAT.
What do we make of his comments? You saw him after the game on Sunday talking with Chris Hogan. And you heard Tom Brady in the lead-up to the game talking about how no one believed in them and how they're the underdogs and all this. And then after the game, immediately after on the field with Chris Hogan, he talks about how he said, they said I was too old, you were too slow, we don't have any skilled players, this is unbelievable. Usually your athletes, especially your coaches and your quarterbacks and your faces of the franchise, what they always say is what? We don't pay attention to the outside noise. We don't pay attention to what anyone, sports TV, we're focused, usually in tune with everything everyone says about the Patriots and their shortcomings, right? One of the things we did say is Brady looks old. And, hey, Cordell Patterson, Chris Hogan, Julian Edelman, that's not really the best set of receivers. Gronk doesn't look so good. So, I mean, he was pretty in tune with everything everyone was saying in terms of them not being very good, them not being good enough.
Yeah, I think that's a refreshing change of pace in sports. Now, I get it. It comes from Tom Brady, so everyone's going to automatically hate it. But I would like to see any athlete do that. Like, yeah, we knew what they were saying.
Do people still hate Tom Brady?
Yes, unanimously. Like 95% of the country.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, Ben Lee. You hate Tom Brady? Thumbs up, Cam? Thumbs up?
I don't.
I got my thumbs down. I don't like the Patriots. I don't like watching them play. But I, at a certain point, like, you just had to kind of, it was like you had to do with LeBron and like you had to do with Alabama. It's just kind of like,
I respect like what they're doing. Like, I respect like how the Patriots like are having this run and like are winning all these championships, but like I still hate Tom Brady like as the player.
Why do people hate him? I just don't, like, I know he's the villain. I recognize that he is, and I think it's good for the sport that people hate him. But I don't know why collectively we've all decided to hate him. Is it Spygate and Deflategate and all that rounded together, and the fact that Peyton was always the good kid?
I think Peyton has more to do with it. I think Peyton has more to do with it, and the winning. And the winning.
But like, you grow tired of the winning.
But like I said, like Brady, I've made this point before, I'll make it again. Brady does feel like the type of guy that America should like. Sort of, kind of, like with his story of six-round draft pick. Who came up, you know, obviously once you started getting into the, hey, I'm going to leave my pregnant girlfriend for a supermodel. Like, while she's pregnant.
I mean, supermodels don't come along all that often.
Well, that's true. That's true, but I mean, I get having that and the cheating. The cheating's not good.
Did we dislike Brady after the first couple Super Bowls? Like early on, like 01, 02.
No, I don't think so. Like, I think that Patriots team was celebrated for springing the big upset because we wanted to see them beat the Rams. The Rams were big favorites, the greatest show on turf, all that stuff, and the Patriots unseated them after 9/11. Like, you had a team named the Patriots.
See, that's what I remember about it.
Winning the Super Bowl and having a big upset, and you had this quarterback that everyone left for, you know, dead, not thinking he would be anything, and he leads a game-winning touchdown drive a game-winning Super Bowl-winning drive.
That's what I remember about the Patriots early on. But eventually, which, you know, I was just a kid, but eventually they just became hated. I think it's just because they've been successful for so long.
Well, I do think here in Knoxville it's different because of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and probably even beyond Knoxville. I mean, a lot of people just liked Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
He was a likable guy.
David tweets in that he's always hated Tom Brady until Sunday. That game made me admit the respect I have for him.
As if the 28-3 Super Bowl didn't do it. Like, that's the thing. You keep having these moments with them. I mean, you got to respect it. Whether you like it or not, you got to respect it.
I still hate the Patriots as an entity. I still hate the Patriots as an entity, but sports hate.
Why do you hate the Patriots?
I mean, as a just a team who dominates and wins.
So you like Brady?
Well, I don't even know if I like him, but I don't hate him. I don't know if I like him. I don't think I'm actively rooting for him. I respect him, as David points out. Like, there's a respect there, and you can argue whether or not Peyton was actually greater. And if you had put Peyton on the Patriots, it would, you know, he would have just as many, if not more, Super Bowls and all that. Like, sure, whatever. Like, splitting hairs on who's greater, whatever.
I think the main thing is just the level of winning. And it's the same reason we've all began to hate the Warriors now. Once anybody wins too much, it's hard to continue to support that because you get bored with it.
Wooden Stripes says, has there ever been a luckier figure in sports than Brady?
He's been pretty lucky.
Yeah. I mean, he has, and he, at a certain point, like, you had to start saying, well, maybe it's not luck, maybe it's just preparation, maybe it's just clutch, maybe it's just all of that stuff rolled in to one. But maybe this thing doesn't even get off the ground if the tuck rule doesn't happen against the Raiders in a snowy Foxborough. He fumbled the ball, but he got bailed out because technically his arm had gone forward even though he had brought it back down, a rule they have since gotten rid of. He benefited from that. Something deep down in the rule book, and then Adam Vinatieri hits two clutch field goals in the snow. And Adam Vinatieri is clutch in the Super Bowls, and the defense is great. And, you know, even on Sunday, as Winning Stripes points out, if D4 doesn't line up in the neutral zone, Brady throws his third interception and they lose the game. If the Seahawks don't choke and run a play that hadn't worked all season and thrown the ball right into the congested part in the middle of the field, and if they're not intercepted, that's another Super Bowl loss. That's another mark. If the Falcons don't completely cover your ears, Cam. If the Falcons don't completely pee down their legs after getting up 28-3, and if Matt Ryan doesn't take a sack when they're in field goal range. Hell, if Matt Ryan and the Falcons get the ball first in overtime and can score a touchdown, if any of that happens, it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, the same could be said the other way, too, though. Like, you know, if the Giants receiver didn't make such a great catch. Who was it? Was that Tyree?
David Tyree in the helmet catch.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I mean, not nitpicking, not taking away from greatness, but even then, that Patriots team would have scored 14 points in the Super Bowl.
Well, look, I mean, I think Butch Jones once said it. It's a game of inches.
I don't know if he coined that phrase. I'm sure he said it at some point.
I'm sure he stole it.
He probably said, like, centimeters. He probably tried to take it to the extreme.
It's a game of centimeters.
And sure, like, even in that second Giants Super Bowl, if Wes Welker makes a catch on third down, they maybe win that game instead of losing that Super Bowl.
Well, the point is they won all those.
No, they did. They did. But it does seem like that is luck. Luck's been on his side for the most part.
Luck has favored Brady. Lady Luck.
And like I said, I do think there are some legitimate, like I said, leaving the pregnant girlfriend, running off of someone else. That's we don't root for that usually. We don't root for the guy who's married to the supermodel. The Uggs commercials, like all that stuff, kind of plays into it too. He went from being, you know, Brady probably should have had the corner of every man. I've always been confused in the Brady-Peyton dynamic because Peyton was the guy who grew up with a famous NFL father. Peyton's the guy who came up with privilege, with a head start in terms of being great. He had Archie. He had a football legacy.
Whereas Brady was the working man's quarterback.
Right. You know, Peyton's the number one overall pick. Like, he was preordained for greatness.
It is weird that their roles ended up being the way that they did.
Yeah, and then it turns into Peyton. Peyton's one of the more fascinating deep studies in what good PR work can do for you. Because Peyton in those commercials, once Peyton showed he was funny, like Peyton became much more relatable to the public.
And some might say Peyton's actually kind of a jerk.
There have been people in Knoxville who have said, you know, have had encounters and have said that. I mean, I've never met him. We're not saying that. But he's been able to, you know, PR his way to being the charming everyman. Like I said, even though he grew up with an NFL father. Whereas Brady, sixth-round pick, all because he kind of hooked up with Giselle and won a bunch of Super Bowls and got an Uggs endorsement, he became the pretty boy. He became the prima donna. It's just fascinating. I love thinking about.
And, like, that Boston mentality, too. Like, he could have been the working man's quarterback, the everyman.
Yeah.
And it's weird that I never thought about that, how the roles were different and Peyton became the guy. Is it because Peyton was in the South and, like, he's just a good old Southern boy? I mean,
like I said, he's one of the – I mean, Peyton's well-spoken. Peyton's been playing the game for a long time. And what I mean by that is Peyton knew he had to carry himself a certain way to reach all of his accomplishments and to get the most favorable treatment from both NFL teams and media, and hell, throw the fans in there too.
He's always seemed relatable.
He's very polished. Like he knows how to play the game, and That's a skill, and that's something he's practiced. And I will say that probably came from Archie and Archie's experience as a pro athlete. We still got Roberto on the phone. Let's go to the phone lines. Oh, he dropped. Okay, he's no longer there. No Roberto. But we're looking. And I do like that he's just been kind of vocal in terms of, hey, none of these guys believed in us. They said, you're too slow and I'm too old. Now look at us. And he's doing the corny video with the Puff Daddy song. I guess it was Diddy at the time. Walking back to the bus, playing Bad Boys for Life with him and Gronk. As they're both just nerdishly smirking at the camera. Just grinning at the camera, playing how they ain't going nowhere, they can't be stopped, they're Bad Boys for Life.
I feel like we might only have one more game of Tom Brady. I think if Brady wins, if you're Brady, you got to walk away.
Well, Neezy tweeted that in yesterday. Do we take solace in the Patriots winning the Super Bowl if that means that Brady's gone?
I'm just wondering if you're Tom Brady, if you win it, you go out on top, you feel like you probably got a little bit lucky here and there this year. I think you walk away, don't you? You get number six. Or do you risk going back next year? I mean, what else do you have to prove, you know?
He has been very vocal. He's been very vocal saying he's going to play five more years, though, right? Like, he keeps reiterating, hey, I'm not slowing down. I would be surprised if he hung it up, even if they won.
We saw him slow down a little this year, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they still got to the two seed, and they pretty much had to win one game this year to get to the Super Bowl. Like, if you really look at it, they had to win one game that was, you know, troubling and on the road, where they really questioned themselves, and they probably had to get up and play their A game, and that was in Kansas City. But if you look around the rest of the AFC, like, if I'm Tom Brady and the Patriots, I'm like, who do we have to worry about next year? The Chiefs, that's it.
Well, and going back to that luck thing, the division that he's always playing.
Yeah, like,
you know,
we can go 9-7 and win the AFC East. Cool.
Like, they're going to be back in the playoffs next year. I mean, it's no matter if Tom ages or not, they're going to win that division.
Maybe I'm not giving the AFC enough credit, but if I'm looking at the list, like, the only team that I know is going to be good next year is the Chiefs.
Colts.
Sure, okay, maybe the Colts, maybe, yeah, okay, good point with the Colts. Like, the Colts with Andrew Luck and all that cap space and the way that they drafted last year, the Colts should be good. Okay, there's two. Good point by you, good addition.
Everybody else, though, I mean, you're scratching your head. Like, the Steelers, I mean, they're talking about trading Antonio Brown right now.
No Antonio Brown, no Le'Veon Bell, another year older of Big Ben. Max Kellerman's on First Take right now with the topic of Steelers drama, too much to overcome. So if I'm Brady and I'm the Patriots, I'm not looking at the Steelers. I'm scared of them. They own the Steelers.
I mean, maybe Baker and the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that this this offseason the Browns will be one of the darlings, much like the 49ers were last year. Everyone thought the 49ers were just going to keep it going and be this great team, and they weren't good even before Garoppolo got hurt. But I would say the Browns are going to be the offseason darlings. They will probably be slated to make the playoffs. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they were the odds-on favorite to win the AFC North. I think they're going to be the favorites to win the AFC North. I'll go ahead and make that prediction now. Not saying they're going to win it, but I think they'll be the betting favorite.
I mean, and then you got teams like the Texans, the Chargers that are just, they are what they are. I mean, those are teams that New England beats.
And the Chargers have to worry again about their quarterback getting older and being able to recreate that magic. Like, I don't think the Patriots are looking at the Chargers saying, oh no, they're coming. Like,
or
we can't
the
stop
Texans.
Them. Yeah.
I mean, really, it's like you said, really the only team that matches up with New England that you're not scared of, but really you feel challenged by, if you're Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, is the Chiefs.
The Chiefs and the Colts. And the Chiefs, if they go out and the Chiefs sign or draft some defensive backs or linebackers, that was really their weakness, they'll be better, and they'll be fine.
So maybe you do come back and just keep doing what you're doing if you're Brady. But
yeah, I mean, if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, go ahead. We'll see you next year in Kansas City or maybe New England. Like, we'll be in the AFC Championship. See you then. It's, you know, a couple of years ago, you felt like the Raiders were on the come up, right? Young quarterback Derek Carr. You felt that. Hell, I thought the Titans were kind of on the way up. They had went 9-7, you know, 2 years ago, and Mariota was coming back, and you felt good about their direction. But right now, you outside of Patrick Mahomes and Luck, seems like the rest of the quarterbacks all have big question marks, either through age like Rivers and Roethlisberger, or through health like Mariota and Watson and hell, even Luck. I don't know if anybody's running Brady off. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Talking about Soulja Boy during the break. Cody was not interested in it.
I know the Apple Bottom Jeans song, and that's it. That's all I know.
Again, that wasn't Soulja Boy either.
Soulja Boy, tell him.
Yeah, that wasn't.
That wasn't him?
No, that was Flo Rida.
Oh, yeah.
We've already went over Florida. This. You made this mistake just like last week.
Well, what did Soulja Boy have? Because I know some. What's like his famous?
Crank That Soulja Boy was pretty popular.
Yeah, I remember that. So the Apple Bottom Jeans song was not him.
No, that was not him.
Well, why is his name mentioned in it? It's not.
Where is it mentioned in it?
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Maybe I just dreamed that. I probably just dreamed that.
Okay.
So what's going on with him?
Well, no, we were just having the discussion because he's been wanting his respect. He feels like he's influenced a lot of these younger people and that people aren't giving him his proper respect. So we were just having that discussion.
Hmm.
You seem very into it. Tonight in SEC play, we have a couple of we have at least a couple of good matchups tonight. You will get to see Kentucky continue to get tested. You will see Kentucky continue to get tested as they host number 22 Mississippi State. Any interest in this game? Now that Tennessee's number one, are you more focused, less focused on the actual conference race? Because we've been looking at the national landscape, and I do think there are some legit contenders for the conference crown as well. Like Tennessee has been great, obviously. Best team in the country. Number one next to their name. No one disputes that. Not even Duke fans. Only MVP Jess.
Who is now private.
Who has now buckled. She has succumbed to the pressure and locked down her account.
Poor Jess.
No one disputes that Tennessee is among the elite in college basketball. I think since we started paying attention to the Dukes, the Virginias, the Michigans of the world, I do wonder if people are still as focused on the conference.
I'm still extremely worried about Kentucky. I'm always going to be worried about Kentucky. We've still got to go to Rupp. We still got to play Kentucky twice. And I don't see us losing to Kentucky twice, but we could very well lose in Rupp. And
well, if we lose in Rupp, that's going to put a lot of pressure on that. It's senior day, right?
To beat Kentucky the second time around?
Kentucky at home is senior day, or is it not?
Yeah, I don't know. If it's the last home game, I assume it is. But I don't
know. I know it's like March 2nd. I didn't know if that was, I know we play Auburn March 9th. I wasn't sure if we had a home game in between that or not. Anyways, Mississippi State is senior day. We play Mississippi State, I guess, on Tuesday of the last week. But, okay, last big weekend game at home, Kentucky. Like, say that they beat you in Rupp, and let's face it, as good as Tennessee's been, winning in Rupp is going to be a tall task.
Yeah, and
a huge task. Like, it's something that we don't do very often.
We did it last year. This team was good enough last year to sweep Kentucky, but then we lost to them in the SEC tournament, and that's what makes me most nervous is the fact that we will play. I mean, we'll play Kentucky three times in a month span.
A month,
basically.
We'll play them twice. We'll play them twice, most likely in like a 2.5 week span, but yeah, sure.
We'll see him again.
It'll be three times in a month.
Should see him again in the SEC tournament, unless maybe Auburn beats them or somebody beats us, which I hope doesn't happen. But and then we could see him again in the big dance. You never know.
It's a possibility you run into him four times with high stakes each time.
But because of that, Kentucky still worries me because you trust Calipari to have them playing well in March. They're never.
Hell, I think they're playing well in January. I think they're ahead of schedule. Like they were a little bit worse than we anticipated.
Yeah.
To start the year, and like in November and December, I think they were worse than we expected. But I think they're hitting their stride earlier.
Yeah, they just went on the road and beat Auburn. I mean, they're looking okay.
They're 6.5-point favorites tonight at home on ESPN against Mississippi State. So now that Tennessee's number one in the country, do you find yourself more invested in this conference race, less, or the same? If you had to pick.
I think more.
Okay.
I think more. Just the general interest in our basketball team and the reason that it and the way that it's being covered from a national perspective makes me more interested in what the rest of the teams do to see who are our biggest challengers. You know, is LSU for real? Seems like the talk of Ole Miss has kind of slipped away a little bit.
A little bit.
I am interested.
Not a great deal, but Ole Miss is – like, this is a big game for Ole Miss and Alabama. Like, I find myself paying much more attention to the standings and to these games because tonight you do have at least two really important games. I'll say three just for the sake of the conference. Like, I do think, never mind. Florida should roll A&M at home. But Florida eventually has to start winning. But sure, like, Auburn travels to South Carolina.
Tricky game.
South Carolina's 4-1. Auburn's still 8-point favorites heading into South Carolina. Like, the loser of that game, if it's Auburn and they fall to 2-3, like, that, I don't want to say that puts them out of the race, but that would go a long way to putting them far behind, trying to catch up to Tennessee.
And after, you know, I'm still intrigued to see what teams like Florida and Alabama do, because those are the two teams that have at least given us a test.
Yeah.
And Alabama, you know, more of a test. I mean, Alabama very well could have beaten us. So I want to see how they progress. Do they bounce? Do we end up finding out Alabama's a solid 20-win team?
Yeah, well, Ole Miss travels to Alabama tonight.
Key game.
So you'll get a little bit of information from both of those teams, and that's kind of what I said about the South Carolina Auburn game. Like, whoever loses that is going to really kind of be behind the eight ball. If it's Ole Miss and they fall to 4-2 and they kind of ruin that hot start they had, that'll be bad. So, you know, the same boat South Carolina's in. If they blow that home game and lose to Auburn, even though they're big underdogs and probably a mirage, like they ruin their good start. If Alabama or Auburn lose and they get another loss, Auburn would be 2-3. Alabama would be 2-4.
The fact that we're number one, I think, makes me more invested in the conference race and more invested in college basketball and the ACC, too, to see what happens with Duke and Virginia and the Big Ten, Michigan State. The fact that we're so good is making me watch a lot more games.
Benley, fire up the poll music.
We're Toyota Knoxville.
With Tennessee hoops being ranked number one, do you find yourself more invested in the SEC play, less, or the same? We'll put that poll up on our Twitter, Fox Sports Knox. Let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll power rank shirts. Let's talk.
Power lies on their side. Yeah, 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 yeah. Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Mighty Morphin Power.
Rankings.
All right, it's the triumphant return of Power Rankings. We're Power Ranking shirts. Cody, you got your list ready?
I do.
This is I haven't seen you take such an initiative on a segment in a long time. You had yours ready an hour early.
I'm so happy to hear that Power Rankings music again. It's been a long time since we Power Ranked anything.
It's Power Rank shirts.
All right, number five for me, the hoodie. In general, I'll preface by saying I am more of a cool weather shirt guy than I am a warm weather shirt guy. I know hoodie is going to rank high on your list. You have professed your love for hoodies many times. For me, it's just number five. Number four, the good old-fashioned T-shirt. Everybody loves a T-shirt, you know, plain white tee, or you can just have a regular tee with an emblem. You know, one logo is usually good for a T-shirt, such as this fine shirt I'm wearing right now. You may be able to see on the Periscope, Hops and Hollers, a Tennessee bar that does Tennessee things, and get the Preds logo and all that. You know, cool T-shirt. Love good tee. Number three, the long-sleeve button-up. My favorite thing about the long-sleeve button-up is rolling up the sleeves and unbuttoning the buttons. So really making it like a short-sleeved half button. But that's a good look to me. That's a sexy look.
Why don't you just go with a short-sleeve shirt, a short-sleeve button-up?
Because it's a sexy look to have the sleeves like, oh, rolled man. Up.
What's happening this guy's day where he had to roll up his sleeves? Did he have to get down to some work?
Is this guy a lumberjack?
Was he having to fix the toilet? Did something go wrong in the sink and he didn't want to get wet? Like, is he just what's been going on in his day?
But also, like, half unbutton. A lot of times when I
you like that chest hair hanging out.
A lot of times when I go out to the bar, I'll, you know, per hour usually. If I go to the bar at 11, I usually undo one button per hour. So by 3 a.m., you know, just a lot of, got the whole forest hanging out. Women adore it. In general, they do. I forgot about flannels, you know, but I don't really have any flannels. Seems like it'd be cool to have a flannel.
Was that your number one?
No, that was number three.
That's what I thought. I was like, can you hurry up?
Number two for me, the sweatshirt. Regular sweatshirt, not hoodie. I don't need a hood. I don't need a big kangaroo pocket. A good sweater. Sweater, sweatshirt, that's the same thing, right? Just nice and warm, but I think it's a better look than with the hoodie. With
a crew fleece.
A what?
Crew neck.
I'm just talking like sweatshirt. You know, regular sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And number one for me, the sleeveless T-shirt.
The sleeveless T-shirt.
The sleeveless T-shirt.
I did not see this coming.
Where you cut out your own sleeves with a pair of scissors?
I did not see that coming. I am shocked at your number one in your power rankings. That deserves a whoa.
Well, if you saw me.
This is like you're trying to make a case for Michigan State to be number one in the country right now. Whoa, didn't see that coming.
See, if you saw me in private, you would know I own a lot of sleeveless T-shirts.
You think the 76ers are winning the NBA championship? Whoa!
What a take. Yeah, big sleeveless guy. Cut them out myself, though. Around the house, that's usually what I'm wearing, sleeveless T-shirts. I don't wear them in public because then you're that guy, you know? You're a sleeveless T-shirt guy.
Number five for me, dress shirts. Don't like wearing them too much, but when you do wear them, there is something about feeling classy. You feel like you're doing something important. Like, hey, this guy had to dress up for something. He must be important. You feel good, whether you're going to a business meeting, church, or you just feel like dressing up for a date. Dress shirt usually means that something important is going on. Number four for me, we had it at the exact same spot, the old T-shirt. I like the T-shirt. It's kind of boring. Whatever. Number three, I prefer a thin sweater. I have to clarify and specify the thin sweater. I don't like the sweaters who are too thick.
Because you get sweaty.
I get sweaty, but I do like having my arms covered. I do prefer the long sleeve, but I don't really like the long sleeve T-shirt. I get a little bit thicker. It fits different. The thin sweater is good. Number two for me, come on. The second best type of shirt, no shirt. Shirtless.
That's not a shirt.
That counts.
That's just topless.
It counts. Thumbs up from Cameron. Thumbs up from Ben Lee. They both agree.
I didn't see any thumbs up. You can't. Can you count?
Shirtless counts. No shirt.
Is that an option?
I think it should count. Thumbs up from Cameron.
Ben, does that count? Ben says no.
And what the hell does he know? That's the last guy you need to talk to about shirts. Number one, the hoodie.
Just because I like my shirts big doesn't mean I don't know about shirts.
That's Ben's number one shirt, the big shirt.
Just oversized.
The 2X.
Number one, the hoodie.
The hoodie. I knew hoodie would be your number one.
Hoodie's got to be number one. It keeps the ears warm. Usually you get the pouch in there. It's comfortable. You can lounge around in it. You can wear it out if you need to. The hoodie is by far number one.
I was 100% confident in your rankings that hoodie would be your number one.
Love hoodies. I'd wear a hoodie every day if I could. Even in the summer, the thin hoodie. If your sleeves are thin enough, it's fine.
When it starts to get a little bit cool in the fall, you start talking about hoodies for like a week before you actually break one out. You're like, you know what?
It's time.
First day of the year.
Hoodie season.
Hoodie.
Hoodie season. Now, not like, you know, you got to be careful. I'm not like a fan of the hood. Like, you know, the Klan, that hoodie. Like, that one's gone. Like, the the sweater / hoodie, that one.
Yeah, I don't think you had to clarify that.
Just making sure.
A lot of racism talk today on Talk Sports.
I think we all knew you weren't in the Klan, but
sometimes you got to clarify. Yeah. You got to clarify. Just in case MVP Jess is listening. I don't want her to say, I knew this guy loved the hoodies.
She wasn't talking about racist. She was just sexist.
She was getting there. She called us Nazis.
Well, yeah, Nazis tended to be racist.
If somebody calls you a Nazi, that's implying that you're racist, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to assume Nazis were sexist as well.
I think that's fair to say.
I don't know that for a fact.
I don't know that either,
I don't want to paint Nazis out to be something they weren't. But
those guys got it bad enough. Maybe we should not throw any extra things on their plate.
I'm going to assume when they were pillaging those villages in Poland, they were probably, you know,
not really respecting the women.
Yeah. Just assuming that, again, don't want to paint them in a bad light something they're not. But
they've got it bad enough. We should be careful. Show them some respect.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to clarify in case MVP Jess is listening. Break out your hood for your Klan meeting. I can already see it now.
I doubt she's listening.
She might be.
She could be.
Hour 1 in the books. Hour 2 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.